I'm John Batchelor. Drones. We hear much talk of drones on the battlefield. Killer drones, surveillance drones, drones that kill without an explosion. However, a bug drone is something I've always puzzled about because many years ago I was told a story that there was a development team looking at swarms of what looked to be bugs, very large bugs, sort of bigger than beetles are supposed to be. And now I learn from Patrick Tucker, the technology editor at Defense One, that there is under development now not only bug drones, but bug drones that obey and maybe even can converse. Patrick, a very good evening to you. I understand that this is at the edge, but I love the edge and I went right to it. What is a bug drone and what do they think it can do in future? Good evening to you.
Good evening. So, yes, this dispatch comes from the Special Operations Forces' recent Global Soft Conference down in Tampa. For a few years now, they've been working with a drone. It's sometimes called a nano drone because it's very small. It's about the size of a bug, a big bug, but a bug. It has on board a camera and a thermal camera, and you can use it, as Special Operations Forces do, to kind of see around corners and things like that. What's new is this innovation, this partnership with a company called Primordial Labs to imbue on this thing via a CPU that the operator actually carries around with them. It's very small. But the ability to yield to voice commands. So I watched this demonstration. The guy basically released the drone, told it to go up 50 feet, you know, left 40 feet, hover. It can obey like a wide variety of different commands from different types of people because, of course, special forces guys would want to hand this thing off. And yes, you instead of using a controller that you would have to look down to see, you can keep your eyes where your eyes are and just tell this drone to go and collect footage. The Army's working with special goggles, too, so that you can get a little display as you continue to see out forward and see what the drone sees. But what Primordial Labs told me is next is they are looking to give this thing the ability to basically, sort of similar to ChatGPT or any of the very public-facing new generative AI engines, respond to queries also in spoken language. So in your ear, if you were a special forces soldier behind enemy lines, you would send this thing up, you would tell it where to go rather than look down, and you would hear two units to the left, 40 paces, one carrying a gun, that sort of thing. And it's only that capability is not yet on the thing. That's about a year away. But it's a pretty remarkable moment in the future that's become the present.
What we're looking at here is somewhere between Tinkerbell and Jiminy Cricket, if I understand correctly. You've got a personal servant who is eyes above the battlefield and can talk to you about the battlefield, can describe it to you, and you then act upon that. And is this something that's within reach or ambition, you know, sort of ghostware?
Well, yeah, it's within reach within the next year or so. It's just a matter of making sure that your data set contains enough of the entities that you might want to look out for. It's been trained correctly on enough video footage. And that's something that they're hard at work on right now. So it's very much the near-term future.
And Patrick, it's a marvel. It's absolutely marvel. It would give anybody an advantage in a combat situation, but also law enforcement, also surveillance. All of that is wrapped in a bug. Now, you watch the bug fly. Can you see it in the air? Does it make a lot of noise?
It's noisier than a regular bug, but it's pretty quiet. And of course, you can send it to an altitude where it can continue to collect data without being heard at all. So as long as you can see it, you can kind of listen for it, but you can send it to a height where you can't see it, but it can still see you because it's outfitted with very good telescopic lenses for being so small.
And we're looking at something that would be issued to a platoon, to a company. Would there be specialists who do this, or is it meant to be for a GI?
Well, the special forces have already been working with this drone since like 2016, and this is now the soldier-borne sensor program in the U.S. Army. So individual infantry are outfitted with it. But this voice capability is still in testing, and it's brand new.
We go to another idea for the battlefield. And this is about unmanned drones, but unmanned drones that are not killers. And the idea here, again from SOCOM, is to transform the battlefield. What is the size of these, Patrick, and what is the advantage?
Right. So this comes from some comments that Tony Thomas made. He's former SOCOM commander, spoke recently about how the U.S. might begin to move autonomous drones, artificial intelligence, closer into the battlefield. And he made the point that a lot of the risk aversion around using these things centers around the prospect that you're going to have robots that are making autonomously lethal decisions, basically making the decision to kill people without a human being able to intervene. He points out that in his experience as a SOCOM commander, that you're actually going to see very much decreased pressure on these things to take human life because they don't have to have the same sort of force protection protocols that a soldier would. And in so doing, he actually connects to arguments that some people were making a few years ago, if you remember, when a Dallas Police Department used a ground robot to basically take out a somebody that was in a hostage situation and do so safely. And a lot of people looked at that and were like, well, clearly we're kind of at the stage of lethal robots. But a lot of robot manufacturers point out that if you had more robots that were doing kind of police work in terms of interviewing subjects and maybe even pulling people over, then you would have far fewer of these very tense police interactions. And so from the SOCOM perspective, that's very much the same thing. If you have the opportunity to remove somebody from a situation with somebody by putting a robot in place there, then you have a lot more options for dealing with that target beyond actually lethal force. So he really wanted to point that out, especially since SOCOM is in this transition phase where it's beginning to work and look at gray zone operations in places more like Singapore, more like the Philippines, away from the Middle East, away from that really sharp counterterrorism mission dealing with Islamic extremists. Now the mission for SOCOM involves being in civilian populations in other countries a lot more, working much more like a kind of intelligence agency, a quasi-intelligence agency, really blending in and really having a much higher threshold for when to take lethal action.
There's software here, and one piece of software is called Maven. What is that, Patrick?
Maven was the Defense Department's kind of flagship program for using AI to pour through video footage so that human analysts didn't have to constantly keep looking for like the one bad guy that might show up in a span of 5 minutes from drone footage that lasted for 24 hours. Maven would basically watch the video footage for you. That program is now with NGA, the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, has taken it over. And they're also looking to find a lot of new ways to basically integrate AI into that so that you can have eyes all over the world, but you don't have to have human eyes, human analysts, very costly, very high value, constantly looking at all that footage. Instead, you would have a system that basically can ping an analyst when anything interesting happens.
Many years ago, as I recall, we had a conversation about keeping human in the decision chain for taking a lethal shot. That now seems a long time ago. Is that still a debate at the Pentagon?
Oh, it's still a debate, and there's no like kind of easy way to exit that debate because you sacrifice something in terms of timing and pacing the more people you have in that loop. But the United States military is really convinced, and this is the this conviction animates the way that they build, develop, test, and evaluate everything. They're still convinced that keeping human beings within some sort of loop of information is going to give them a decisive advantage because it's going to enable the human to operate a lot better without just outsourcing key decision-making to robots. And that reflects a few things. I think it also reflects the faith that the U.S. military places in its NCO corps compared to autocratic states like Russia and China. So if you don't think that your guys on the ground are particularly smart, then you might well want to send a lot of that decision-making to robots. But the U.S. military puts a lot of faith in their very well-trained personnel. So they're still, to this day, moving in the different direction where you're having AI that actually just sort of enables a human to make a decision. But that debate has no sign of stopping. That continues because you have different advantages and disadvantages depending on the context, the situation.
Patrick Tucker is the technology editor at Defense One. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.